Come on, will you just tell him how worthy he is? Father, you are worthy of everything that I could ever bring. Lord, you are worthy of anything I could ever do. You are worthy of every word that comes from my mouth. You are worthy of all my dignity. Father, you are worthy of it all. And tonight, God, we don't want to just sing that as a song. We want to declare that as brothers and sisters bought by you. You are worthy of it all. So, Father, we give you praise tonight. We worship you, for you have been good to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Hey, if you got kids, I want you to take them to kids' church. The rest of y'all, will you grab someone and will you shake their hand? Will you shake them up and wake them up? Say hi to someone you don't know. Welcome somebody to church. Welcome somebody. Say hi to somebody. There you go. I used to say this a lot. I was asked to stop saying it so much. I was being respectful. But I want you to remember something. You can get a teaching anywhere. How many of you guys love YouTube? Anyone in here like YouTube? Yeah, I love YouTube, you liars. I love it, yeah. I like getting on the internet. I like watching videos. I like to binge out. And truthfully, there's some people right now, no shame, they're watching this sermon live right now. I love sermons. You can find them on the internet. How many of you guys like good music? Anyone here like good worship music? I love that too. Guess what? You can find that on the internet. But you know what you don't find on the internet? Sitting next to someone in real life. And this is what church is about, is the gathering of believers. So look at your neighbor again and say, I'm glad you're here tonight. Just let them know. All right. We're talking about the new church. We've covered a lot. We've covered the first week was about the kingdom of God and what he brought in, about what it means to be a witness. We talked about the new covenant and the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit marks you and that you are different now. You're not the same person. We read some scriptures and how the Lord's plan was always that the Holy Spirit would come upon his people. It was part of his plan. But tonight, I want to talk about two different characters in the scriptures that we're going to read about. And they're saints and there's witches and saints. I should have preached this last week for Halloween. But this is actually kind of an important thing, because how many of you guys grew up, how many of you guys, when I say the word witch, immediately think of Harry Potter? Anyone in here think about Harry Potter? Two of us? Come on, Harry Potter was, Hocus Pocus. Oh, yeah, Disney Channel movies as well, yeah. I think of like pointy hats, cauldrons, what else they got? Brooms, cats, yeah. And I don't know, I kind of grew up in a sense that witches, I don't know, it was like a joke, you know, witches are a joke. Until I got a little bit older and I had friends who were in the mission field, and they would tell me that there are these guys in the mission field. Someone's carrying Harry Potter right now, okay, wow, yeah, he was really on it. But in the mission field, people would be like, no, there's witches who try to curse you. They'll come out, they'll put blood all over the front of your house. They'll try to curse you. And great testimonies of witches coming to know the Lord. And so then I kind of got this idea, and I also grew up, did anyone grow up as a Christian in the 90s? Did anyone grow up as a Christian in the 90s? Okay, never mind. I'm not, Carmen? Yeah, does anyone remember Carmen? Yeah, okay, thank you, yeah. There's like these like, cool stories about witches converting. Then I met people later on and they're like practicing Wicca and stuff, especially in high school. And I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think they were cool. I just thought they were kind of lame people. I had no thoughts about them except like, why are you doing that? Like, why, what? That doesn't make you feel cool, right? And so this is kind of my idea of what it looked like for witches. But when I read the scriptures actually make it pretty clear that witches are a real thing. We're not talking pointy hats and cauldrons. We're talking about people who walk in power. People who walk in power, or at least they walk in deception. And what I mean by that is like magic. They walk in magic. And so I only started reading about this a couple years back, because one day someone came to me and they were praying over me out of the blue. They just came to the church. They started praying over me and they said, hey, I want you to know something. There's people around you. There are witches. I'm thinking, I don't know any witches. That's what I was thinking, right? I said, there's witches and they're trying to curse you. I'm thinking, okay, whatever. You know, I didn't think much of it. I thought, well, I need to read the word. And the first thing that I read, I want to say this right off the bat, in scriptures, it makes it very clear, if you are a believer of Christ, no curse could come over you, that you are saved by his blood. That was the first thing, right? And so I read that, thought, okay, I don't care if there's witches after me. I don't know what that means. You know, I honestly didn't know what that meant. I guess they're killing chickens and saying my name or something. But it did make me start reading some of these scriptures. And reading some of these scriptures, I started realizing something, that in the scriptures, the witches didn't look much different than the saints. In fact, they were doing a lot of the same things the saints were doing. I started looking at this, and I'm going to read three verses to you guys. They're kind of long. They're all in the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, I'm going to read 10 verses from Acts chapter 8 real quick. This is about a sorcerer. His name's Simon. I just want to read this to you, and this is going to give you some clarity that when you hear the scriptures talk about witchcraft, it's not talking about Harry Potter, it's not talking about Wicca, it's not talking about any of that stuff, though granted, I want to just make this clear, Wicca is insane. If you know people who are in Wicca, tell them, grow up, get Christ in your life, okay? Rebuke them. But it says this, a man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believe Philip's message because Philip was there preaching the gospel of good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Oh, great, my computer. I wanted my Bible, and I couldn't find it. Many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. So the sorcerer gets saved. He began following Philip wherever he went. He was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is kind of important. It's reflecting last week. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. So these believers didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, are baptized of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had not only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon, that sorcerer who got saved, saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy the power. He said, "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter's reply to him was this, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you're full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. Pray to the Lord for me," Simon exclaimed, "that these terrible things you said won't happen to me." That's a wild story. If you continue reading, they don't talk about Simon no more. That's the end of Simon's story. I want to read two more stories real quick. These ones are a lot shorter. I want you to jump to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. This is only six verses. It's talking about Paul traveling into a town. And he goes across the entire island until they reach a place called Paphos, when they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, not like physically, but he just stuck with him, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked at the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, an enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now. For the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time." Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. I got one more story for you. Last one. Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 16. 16:16 is where we're going to start. Paul, one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hope of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas, dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shout to the city officials. They were teaching customs that are illegal to us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Boom, end of story. I just give you three stories about some crazy stuff that people were able to do who didn't have the Spirit of God, and they're walking around. And I'm just going to point out a few things that I thought were extremely interesting, because as people who are in this new kingdom of God, who are in this new church, these scriptures reveal something I think that are incredibly important for you to keep your eyes open for. Now, this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to have this sermon and you start eyeballing everybody and going, there might be a witch among us. I don't want that, all right? That's crazy talk. But I don't know if you've noticed this. When I read that first story about Simon, it says he was a sorcerer for many years, and everybody in Samaria considered him what? A man of God. They said, look at him. It said, from the least to the greatest, this guy is the great one. He is the power of, not little g, not a God. They're talking about the Jewish God, our God, the King of Kings, the Lord, his name, the I am, the great I am. They're going, look at him. He's doing all these wonderful things for us. He surely is someone who was like, let me actually just put it this way. He wasn't walking around with a cauldron and he's going over there laughing and saying, I want the good people to die. He was doing good things for people. They were looking at him astonished going, I like him. He benefits me. When my family was sick, I took them over there and he did something. And all of a sudden, they're better. When I needed help, he did whatever magic he was doing and it fixed. And they were, it says, everyone from the least, that means those who are nobodies, to the greatest, even the great people in the city, looked at him and said, wow, what a powerful man of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's exactly what they said about the saints. In fact, Simon says himself that he looked at the miracles of the saints, Peter and them, and they said, wow, I'm astonished by him. He says, I'm astonished. I mean, how many of you guys would like it if someone came in the door right now and they're like, does anyone need to be healed? And you were sick. And you're like, yeah. And they're like, be healed. And you were healed. How many of you guys would love that? How many of you guys would go, how did you do that? How many of you guys would immediately go, I want to know your secret? If someone said they came in here because maybe you don't need healing, but maybe you like, I don't know, wanted some money or something. I don't know. They're like, listen, I'm going to tell you the lotto numbers, and you go do it, and it worked. How many of you guys be like, do it again? Anyone in here be like, do it again? And all of a sudden, what? You're going to go, well, what is this way that you have? It was power. It was outstanding. This was miraculous. How did you do that? This is what Simon was doing. And when it says in the scriptures that's when the Peter and them came into the town and started preaching, it says that he loved the message and he was astonished. He's going, wow, look at your miracles. But what happens with this guy, Simon? He sees the Holy Spirit come upon people, and what does he do? He says, hey, I want to buy this magic power you have. I want to purchase the power of God. What can I do? What can I give to you so that I can have this power? And Peter's rebuke is insane. He says, bro, you are wicked in your heart. You will have no part of this. You're full of jealousy and bitterness. You're looking at me, a man who's here to serve God, and you're looking at me going, I want that same thing he has. And I want you to read this with me. If you could read it, if you go back to it, he says something I think is so crazy. He says, give this to me that I might lay hands on people, then they could receive the Holy Spirit. He was not saying, hey, you know what? Give me this gift so I could go see other people who don't have the Holy Spirit, that they might be full of the Holy Spirit. He says, I want the authority for myself. You know what the difference between Simon and the rest of the apostles were? His heart posture was about his glory, and their heart posture was about the Father's glory. And this is what it was, the difference between Simon, who could do great wonders and miracles, and Peter, who could do great signs and miracles. This was the difference between Simon, who was astounding, the least and the greatest, and Peter, who was astounding. This was the difference between Simon, who had people eating out of his hand, to Peter, who at one point people were bowing down trying to worship him because of the miracles he was doing. The difference was nothing about what they were doing. It was everything about who they were doing it for. I don't know if I've ever said this to you, and maybe you've heard this before, but the difference between a saint and a witch is whose glory do they live for? And that tells me something. That tells me that there's men and women who could speak the gospel of Christ, who could stand on a stage and they could preach great sermons. And because they do it for their own glory, they're no different than Simon the sorcerer. There's people who would come to church and they could sing the songs and they could dance and they could say, hallelujah, hallelujah, and they miss God because they're going, I'm actually just here for my own glory. This is all I'm here for. And they're no different than Simon. Listen, this bit's a little bit of a different picture of what a witch is. This makes a saint and a witch look a little bit more the same. And the only difference is the glory I'm after is his. When we go to the second story. Oh yeah, I got this. Okay, I'm looking at time. This dude who's trying to hold out. I got to pull something out about this guy because I think this is crazy. I'm going to come back to Simon again in a minute, but let me talk about this Elymas or whatever his name is. This is the second story I read where there was this Jewish sorcerer. I don't know if you've ever read that and understood that this is a dude who followed the law of the Jews. He was a Jewish man, circumcised. He knew the laws of God. Yet he relied on sorcery. And he hears that this Jesus is coming, right? He hears this story. And what's his one goal? I don't want this guy, this intelligent man that I'm guarding, I'm with, I don't want him to know the story of Jesus. I don't want him to know about this Jesus. It says that his goal was to keep him from believing. I love this story because Peter comes in with some authority, says, man, you're cursed. Darkness overflows his eyes, right? But check this out. I want to point this out to you. You know what the difference between a witch and a saint is? A saint wants people to know about Christ. A witch wants people to know about themselves. Peter goes, man, I'm bringing Christ. I want you to have salvation. But listen, this guy, Elymas, or whatever his name was, this dude over here, his goal was to stay attached, to be the influence over this intelligent man. He wanted to be the influence. Let me talk to you about influence really quick. I've told you this story, and I shouldn't tell you this story, but I'm going to tell it again. When me and Susie first got married, first Christmas with a kid, we have a really stupid fight, okay? It's a really stupid fight. It's about going to my parents' house for Christmas after my son Jacob was born. He was 2 months old. I was still a child. I wanted to be at my parents' house for Christmas. And my wife was like, we have a newborn baby. We should be responsible. She was right. But we're driving home. And you guys ever give people attitude? Yeah. Okay. You know why you give them attitude? Because you want your way. That's the only reason you're doing that. You want to have the influence in the conversation. That's what you're doing. I have attitude. And so we're fighting. I don't know what we're saying. But she gets so mad at me because I'm driving with attitude. I don't drive like this, by the way, but this is me driving. And this is what she does. I had bought her a ring because the ring I bought her for our wedding, our original wedding ring, was like $100. So I went and spent like $400 or $500 on this ring. And I was so excited. I gave it to her. She took it off and she threw it out the window. I know. And I'm looking at her. Now, I want you guys to hear me really quick. I didn't really care that much, but I saw an opportunity to have influence over her. I knew I could win this fight. All I had to do was cry. All I had to do was cry. And guess what I did? Oh. And all of a sudden, I grab influence. And what does she get? She gets full of guilt. Okay, I went too far. Right? You know, she made me cry. You know, I went too far. I pull over. And I'm legit. I mean this, okay? I only know about this in my own heart. And I know that you've done this too. I'm letting my emotions be expressed so I could have influence. And this is what I know, because you've been in a similar position. And maybe, though, you were actually holding back your emotion because your goal was, I want to have influence in a situation so that I might get my way in what's going on. Some of you guys use kindness. I use tears. Some of you guys will use kindness. You will be an absolute pushover for people because all you want is the influence. Let me persuade you in what I want in my life. That was me as well. I can't tell you how often I would flatter people. And you listen, you know flattery people. You've seen me do it before, I'm sure, where I go around and say, oh, this and that. And I just give all these cheap compliments. You know why I'm doing that? I'm not doing that because you're somebody so important that I want to worship you. I'm doing that, why? Because I want this influence in your life. We say we want you to like me. It's not, let me just tell you something about yourself. You don't want to be liked. You want to be obeyed. And I'm going to tell you this about yourself really quick. You want people to do what you want them to do for you. You know the people who you're most angry at? It's people who won't bend for you. The people who you want them to change and they won't change and you're angry at them. And I know this to be true about you in this room because this is actually just your sin nature. But I for a long time had to wrestle something out. I didn't realize how badly I wanted influence over everyone around me. And sometimes that influence was for something big. Sometimes that influence was just for whatever small thing. And I listen to people. Listen, I know why we share our sorrows with people. I know, and it's not just because out of love. I'm not saying that sharing your sorrows is bad. I'm talking about heart intent. I know why we do what we do. I know why you get put on a grumpy face when you walk into a room, because you don't want nobody to talk to you, or you want the attention. And all of a sudden we have this, I want the influence. Let me tell you something about Christ. By the way, I don't know if you know this, influence and power. Power is the ability to have influence over people. I don't know if you know this, but it is in your nature that you are trying to persuade everybody else. Have you guys ever ran into a guy on the street, a homeless guy? Have you guys ever, nobody? Yeah, okay, me too. Yeah, no, that was a question, okay? Yeah, there was a question mark there. All right, listen, I love the men and women on the street. I'm out there all the time. But I tell them straight, I don't want to hear your stupid story. And I say that to them, I don't want to hear your stupid story. I came out here for a job. It was a trick. And that might be true. I don't care. You know what I always tell them? Oh, I don't feel bad for you. That's the first thing I say to them. I don't feel bad for you. You know what that helps them do? They recognize I don't need to persuade him to feel compassion so I can move him. What they do, and every time, some guys will try to keep running the same show, same story, but almost every other guy will all of a sudden have mad respect for me. Oh, you're not in the game. I can't persuade you like that. So you know what they do? They give me real talk. Why are you really out here? I like asking this question. I'm not saying you should do this. Don't go around asking this question. I ask this question because I work with a lot of guys. What's your DOC? What's your drug of choice? First question that comes up. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's scary if you're a guy who's in addiction and you're homelessness and you want me to give you whatever you want. It's hard to be honest because if they're honest, then they say, oh, it's this drug or it's this drug. All of a sudden, they feel like they're losing influence over me. Because if they could say, oh, actually, I just want money. And I'm not saying this is everybody. Don't group everybody up. I'm just talking about some experiences you've had. If we go in and we say, hey, you want some money? And they're like, yeah, I'm starving for food. What does that do to you? It persuades you. Oh, I feel bad. I got to feed you. And then you say, let me go take you out to eat then. And they say, no, I don't want that. Some guys will say yes. I'm not saying that everyone's the same, but you get what I'm saying. There is an influence that we're trying to play on one another. There's a power move. You know what the difference between a saint and a witch is? A saint lets God have the power. Say, God, you influence the people around me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand on truth. I'll let you change their minds. A witch says, I want the control of other people in my life. I want to control how they think about me. I want to control about how they think about everything else that I do. And I want to just be real with you. It's mostly about you is what you're trying to control. It's about your story, about who you are to other people. And I want to tell you right now, you want to know a real saint? A real saint prays the Lord's Prayer. Father, to you be the glory, to you be the power. It's your influence. I'm not going to try to influence my boss to give me a raise. I'm just going to do excellent in it, and I'll let you be the influence. I'm not going to try to influence my boyfriend or my girlfriend to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'll let you do the influence. I don't know if you've noticed this, but master manipulators are just power movers. That's all they are. All they're trying to do is trying to get you to go with them. And now don't be fooled. I say master manipulator. If you don't think you're a manipulator, you're probably a master manipulator. You've got yourself so full thinking that you're not trying to convince everybody else how to live and how to be and how to see you. That's a crazy talk. That's a crazy mindset to have. But this is what sin nature is, that you want the influence in life. You want the control. Some of us are doing this with God himself. Have you ever listened to your prayers? How you will beg him in a different manner based on how desperately you want something? Some of you guys don't even go into prayer. You guys don't even go before him. You don't even have a real relationship with him until there is something you want. And then what happens? You become the best Christians ever seen. I know people who are fasting only when there's something that they're trying to get God to do for them. This is the difference between the witch and the saint. Father, I'm going to trust you with the power. I'm not going to try to convince anybody. I could stand on truth. I won't be moved. You move them, God. Father, I'm going to stand in excellence and integrity. And I know there's other ways to get money, but I'm going to stand in excellence and integrity. And you, Father, you have the power. However the money comes, you make it happen. But I'll stand in this. Elymas, this witch, the sorcerer who knew the ways of God, wanted to keep Jesus away from the man that he had control over. Hey, one more thing. You want to hear one more thing about witches just off the story? Because then I got one more. I got to finish and we'll end this up. One more thing. It is a demonic witchcraft for people to try to keep Jesus out. It's a demonic witchcraft for people who don't want to give you Jesus but want you to find a different way. And I want to say this to you because I think some of us have partaken in this idea. And I know people won't agree with me. I know that people do not think that Jesus really is the answer, that Jesus really is true when he says you have eternal life in me and that you could give up everything, not some things, you could give up everything and follow him. I know we don't all believe that. I know we think we believe that, but we still have this. Yeah, but let's be logical. Let's be reasonable here. No one, you know, the young rich ruler. I think we got a ton of young rich rulers in the church who go, yeah, but God, let's be reasonable. I don't think I want to pay that big of a price. I know that. But let me just tell you something about witchcraft. Let me tell you about these sorcerers, what they would teach in the scriptures. The sorcerers will give you every other way except Jesus himself. That's what they want. Now, I'm saying this is witchcraft. I'm not saying this is what only sorcerers do. I want to say to you, be aware that sometimes you start doing the stupid thing where God says, I will be the way, but you want to look everywhere else but to him. There is a demonic influence, and I don't want to get all weird with you about spirituality, but man, if you believe in God, then you better believe there's a different realm that you can't see. There is a demonic presence that wants you to look everywhere but Christ, and it will do whatever it takes. And that's exactly what this man does. And he was called a sorcerer who got blinded by Peter through the power of God. It says, man, it's actually insane what happens to him. It says that they can see the mist come over his eyes. Because his goal was to keep Christ out of the message. I don't know what kind of advice you're giving to people. I don't know what you're telling people, but I just need to encourage you really quick. Don't follow the ways of the sorcerers. Follow the way of the saints. You got someone complaining to you about what's going on in their life? Don't point to some other way. Say, do you know who Jesus is? I could testify. We talked about this a few weeks ago. How many of you guys could testify that every time you've come to Jesus, he has in the end always proven that his promises are true? There is no reason for any Christian to look anywhere else but to Christ. And I know what people say. Yeah, but these are good things. I'm sure they are. I'm sure what Simon was doing was awesome things. It's not about good things. It's about whether or not it's a God thing. God, this is what I want. I want you. Jesus, I will follow you. I'm going to point in that direction. Be people who get Christ out to people because it's the way of sorcerers to get Jesus out of the message. Last story, though, so I can end this thing. We've got 7 minutes. The demon-possessed girl. I actually love this story. There's a lot to this story because I don't know about you, but if I walked into a room and there was some demon-possessed person, I don't think I would let them just hang out with me. I don't think I would do that. But Paul, for days, has this demon-possessed girl who could tell future and tell fortunes, is going around and listen to what she's saying. She is shouting out, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. That's a great message. Did you guys see anything wrong in that message? Now, I don't look at that message and go, oh, that's a demon who would say, only a demon would say that. You know what a lot of us do when it comes to sorcery and witchcraft and the demonic? We only look for the most on-the-nose stuff. We only look for the most on-the-nose stuff. This girl's walking around going, these men are men of the Most High God. They're here to tell you how to get saved. And she was ran by a demon. Paul, for days, is walking with this girl. Finally, I actually love what the scripture says. Notice it didn't say Paul in all of his holiness. It says Paul gets annoyed with her. He's sick of her saying it. It's a distraction. I don't know if you guys have ever been a part of something like this, where someone keeps saying godly things, but they're bringing confusion and distractions to the room. So Paul gets upset with it. He rebukes the woman, rebukes the demon. The demon comes out of her. They get beat up. They get thrown in jail. But I want to say this about this woman. It doesn't say there was a woman who was crazy. Doesn't say that this was a woman who was all messed up. And I'm just saying what the scriptures doesn't say. What it says is that she had a demon who was speaking true things. And you and I, we kind of do this thing. We'll watch someone's life and we can tell where their heart's at. We know they're not walking with Christ. We can see it. We can see the fruit in their life. We look at them and go, yeah, but a Christian doesn't practice sexual immorality, and you're practicing sexual immorality. Yeah, but a Christian wouldn't live that way. And we're watching them. But because they say good things, what do? Oh, well, I guess they're all right. I mean, yeah, I like them, but did you hear what he said? I mean, at least he sounds like he's sincere. But they're looking at this girl going, no, that's a demon in her. We don't care that she said something right. Listen, some of us keep people around us, and it's kind of an accumulation of these kind of people where we get people around us and they do miracles, or they kind of look just like the saints. They have the right talk. They say the right things. But for some reason, you could tell, man, you seem to be against Christ and for yourself. You seem to be against Christ and for yourself. And let me just make something really clear. You cannot be for yourself and for Christ. Only one of them gets you. It's either you or him. And he's looking at us and he's going, hey, listen, you can only go one way. He says this very clearly. An olive cannot grow on the thorn bush. He says salt water and unsalted water. I don't know. They say they don't mesh. When they mix together, it becomes salt water. He says you can only choose one. And so some of us, we keep looking at people and going, I know who a witch is because I saw them do Wicca. It's like, bro, those are the lowest ranking witches you could think of. You want me to tell you what the real sorcerers are? People who say good things about Christ, yet their hearts are about their own glory. People who could do great wonders and miracles, yet they're rebellious against God. People who give you every direction except Christ himself. That's the witch. Not some voodoo. Those guys, listen, those guys who are sacrificing the demons, that you could actually just really call them idol worshipers. That's what those are. Those guys are just idol worshipers. Those guys are just fools. Those guys, but the people who take the power of God for their own glory. Man, I want prophecy so I could be lifted up before men. Man, I want great teaching and preaching that I might be lifted up before men, so that my name might be glorified. I'm not saying that someone who's lifted up before men is a witch. I'm talking about heart posture. I'm talking about you. I want to know, not about the people around you, but about your heart posture. How bad do you want the influence? How bad are you trying to control everyone else's view about you? How badly do you want to be the way? Then let him be the way in your life. How badly do you want the power of God so that you could have established that you look at people with gifts of the Holy Spirit with jealousy because you're going, I want that for myself. I didn't preach the sermon so you could go find witches. I preached the sermon so you could examine yourself. That the witches and sorcerers looked like they could stand in the same room. They could almost produce all the same miracles. They could walk around and speak the same good things, yet their hearts were off. And when Christ talks about the new church, he says this to us. He says, Jesus himself says, man, amongst you, there's going to be wolves who are in sheep's clothing. They look the part, yet they're vicious for their own gain. And they're within the church because wolves know that sheep are weak. If they could get in the flock, he says, beware of them. What does he say? He gives us instructions. Be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. Watch out for the men and women. No. Forget that, actually. Watch out for yourself. Oh, that you're grabbing onto the power, saying, God, I want the power. That you're grabbing onto the idea of your own stage. I want to be this thing. That you're the one who wants to point in every direction to people. You want to be the advisor to people, but you don't want them to know Jesus. You would tell them everything else. Man, get on this medicine. Go to this person. Do all this. But you don't want them to know Jesus. And you think, oh, it'd be good if they did. But man, if you really thought that, you would tell them. If you really believe that, that would be your thing. Listen, I'm going to say this to everyone in this room. I don't want one of us to get to heaven and stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these wonderful things in your name? I mean, was I not just a Jewish guy? Was I not just this guy, Simon? Was I not just a girl who was saying great things about you? He says, man, I never knew you. Tonight's sermon is not about how to find a witch. Tonight's sermon is to make sure that you don't become one. Be someone who walks in the power of God for his glory. Someone who says, God, I give you all the authority and power. You be the influence. I'll stand in my lane. I will trust that you will be the one who influences people. I don't have to manipulate no more. I don't need to cry over that stupid ring. By the way, to finish that story, we slept at my parents' house that night. We turned around. I got her because I had a wicked heart that wanted all the influence for my own gain. Jesus, I pray over everyone in this room. No, we want to be men and women, Father, who use the glory of you, who use Jesus, you. Or you, actually, God, let's go even further. Who are not maybe not even using you, using everything else in our lives for our own glory. God, I pray right now, we've been talking about this on Sundays, God. I pray, God, that there would be a humbling in our hearts, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit wouldn't just be used, God, for the things of this world. No, but rather, God, we would go, man, I want to serve my brothers and my sisters. That we'd have a heart posture aligned to you, Jesus, the one who said, man, you fox have a place to sleep. I don't got nothing for my head. The one who said, man, I'm laying down my life for you. The one who said, man, I would be a servant amongst you. God, that's the one we want to be aligned with. For everything else, Jesus. I mean, you say rebellion is that of witchcraft. It's the same thing. It's a wicked heart that's against the Father. Even though it might fool itself to think it's for the Father, it's not. It's really for its own glory. I pray over us, God, that we would line up. That you wouldn't be some name we call. You'd be some name that we follow and bow down to. That you would be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to give some instruction about going out here. We usually do decorations. We usually do all this fun stuff. But basically my whole team.